Amen. There's a word from the Lord this morning. There's a word from the Lord. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 103, y'all, verses 1 through 5. Reading from the King James Version of the Bible. It says this: Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I want to encourage our hearts this morning on this Sunday before Thanksgiving Day from the thought, grateful for the good stuff. Amen. Grateful for the good stuff. Grateful for the good stuff. When I was growing up, my family would traditionally have our Thanksgiving meal at my great-grandmother's house. That we get up on Thanksgiving Day morning. And in our tradition, y'all, we had to go to church first. That's a novel idea. Thanksgiving Day and a worship service. Hey, that's a novel idea, don't you think? Some of you, don't look at me strange. So don't. Yeah. So we went to church, y'all. And on Thanksgiving Day, y'all, listen. The pastor would give his best Thanksgiving message, filled with a whole lot of "Ain't God good?" I know I'm right about it. A whole lot of shouts, a whole lot of hallelujahs in the house that mothers would throw their head back. They'd be crying and talking about how good God had been. A whole lot of testimonies about the goodness of God. A whole lot of praises, a whole lot of shouts. Thanksgiving Day, we went to church. And then after that, we went to great-grandmother's house for Thanksgiving, an early Thanksgiving dinner. And y'all, she pulled out all the stops that the big table in the living room, she put the white linen cloth on it and put the one with all the doilies and the frilly stuff on top of that one. And then she'd go to her china cabinet, y'all, and get all of the fine china out there. You know, them big old plates with the gold ring around it, y'all, the little saucers and the cups. And she'd have all of her flatware all shined up on the table. She'd have the big fork and the little fork and then the littlest fork. And I didn't know what to do with which fork. Just one fork, that's all I needed was to eat my meal. But she'd have all of that stuff on the table, y'all. And then what came next was the Thanksgiving Day prayer. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. It wasn't the regular, "Lord, we thank you for this food." It was a prayer. And so daddy or mama, somebody would start the prayer. We talking 10 to 15 minutes, y'all. We in the prayer. They just praying. And, you know, I'm sitting there. I still got my suit on with my suspenders, with my tight Buster Brown shoes. I'm wondering when they going to start praying so we can eat, y'all. And then the prayer was over, and then it was time to get our grub on. It was time to eat. And great-granny had a spread, y'all. It was a spread it looked like it was meant for royalty. Y'all, that she would have turkey and dressing. It was either goose or duck. We'd have ham. We'd have beans, greens, tomatoes. You name it, y'all, we had it. That she had it. She had it all on the table. And some of y'all know she had some pickled peaches on the table. Don't look at me strange. Some of y'all, pickled peaches. If you don't know, you better ask somebody. Pickled peaches. And she'd have sweet potato pie. She'd have pound cake. She'd have red velvet cake. She'd have chocolate cake. She had coconut cake. She sure did. She had lemon pie too. She had it all, y'all. She had all the good stuff. Their great-granny put all of this together because of her love and her care for her family, that she pulled out all of the stops to make sure that we had a great meal on Thanksgiving Day morning. And what would we do when she was finished? That we would applaud her, that we would thank her. And even today, I look back on those days of Thanksgiving Day dinner at great-granny's house, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful for her expression of love and care for her family. Think about today. As you all gather on Thanksgiving Day, you will have families that will come together, friends that will come together. You'll celebrate some, or perhaps some of your own Thanksgiving Day traditions, whatever they might be. But here's the thing, and here's the point. As we celebrate one another, as we give thanks to God for one another, we cannot fail to thank God for who He is and the many blessings that He's given us. That God is good. So Psalm 103, it's a psalm of David. And David expresses his love. David expresses the fact that God has love and care for us. And so in Psalm 103, David lists all of the good things, all of the good stuff that God has done for you and for me. That David gives praise to God. It's a praise psalm and not a complaint. It says something about our lives. There ought to be much about praise and little about grumbling and complaining. I shared with somebody this morning. So last night we went to Sister Tam's event, and on the way home there was a bad accident on Highway 410. And so I really believe someone probably lost their life. They shut the entire highway down. And so what should have taken us about 20, 25 minutes to get home took us an hour and a half. And so yours truly, I'm being authentic, I'm being realistic. Look, I got to get up and I got to preach in the morning. I got things to do. I ain't got my clothes laid out yet. I got to prepare for tomorrow. And God caught me in the morning. He snatched me. He said, "You standing here, you complaining. You sitting in an automobile with a tank full of gas. You got air conditioning, heat, whatever you need. Somebody's probably on that highway and they are gone, and they got to notify their loved ones that they are no longer in this world and still try to celebrate on. And you complaining and go, shut up. Hey, sometimes that's how the Holy Spirit deals. Just shut up. Stop whining and stop complaining. And that's how our lives ought to be filled with praise for the good things that God has done for us. So what I really want to focus on in Psalm 103 is verses 1 through 5. That they're David's personal, very personal response for all that God had done for him. And so I want us to consider Psalm 103, these first five verses, as a core or the essentials of what's involved in true thanksgiving, what's involved in true worship, and what's involved in true praise. That we can take some lessons from David as we look at Psalm 103 and tell what it looks like to really give thanksgiving to God. So the first thing I really want to point out to us this morning is this: the power of the benefactor to provide good stuff. The power of the great benefactor to provide good stuff. David says, "Bless the Lord." That word "bless" is important. It means to speak well of. That we speak well of our parents, we speak well of family members, we speak well of friends, we perhaps speak well of employers, that they're good employers, we speak well of them, we bless. But if we're going to bless anybody, we ought to bless God, because God is our divine benefactor, that He is benevolent, which simply means God is good, and God does good things for you and for me, that He's a divine benefactor. A benefactor is simply one who does good. And those who receive from Him are His beneficiaries. That if I'm looking at you today, and if you're listening, you can hear me today, you are a beneficiary of God's many gifts and His blessings. The Bible says every good gift comes down from God. In Him there is no shadow of turning. All the good that you have in your life, the good I have in my life, God did it. That's why I love this song. Everything good that happened to me, God did it. That God did put a roof over my head. That God did give me clothes to put on my back. That God did give me food to eat. Shoes on my feet. I like my shoes too, y'all. They're comfortable, y'all. But God did it. Every blessing you have, God did it. And so, think about the text for a minute. Listen, if God has the power to provide good things to us, there's something that ought to be obvious. That God ought to be the object of our worship. That He ought to be the object of our praise. But I found out something in life, beloved of God. What is obvious to, should be obvious to a lot of people, is not so obvious. Because I think about the time, I'm just talking about me, the time I'm whining, I'm complaining to God. I'm complaining about stuff rather than thinking about how good God has been to me, how much He's blessed me. That God is the object of our worship. That right now, I hope your mind and your heart is focused on God. Not about a football game later on. Not about what you're going to eat after you get out of the worship service. Not about the sweet baby back there giving praise to God and crying. That you're focused in, you're zoned in on God and how God, that He is the object of our worship. And listen to me today. Worship cannot be the object of our worship. I want to let that sink in for a minute. Because we don't have no notes on the screen behind us. Some people get upset about that. Because the video's not working. If we didn't have a piano, if we didn't have drums, y'all, if we didn't have a guitar, God is still worthy to be praised. We can clap our hands and stomp our feet. That we can lift up our voices to God. Because our worship is to God. It's not about worship. Some people worship. That worship has to be in order. Everything has to be like this. But if, it's okay if it's not. Because we worship God. And we dare not worship a personality or elevate people. We dare not worship our material possessions. We come here to worship God. God is the object of our worship. Because He's the divine benefactor. And He has the power to give us good stuff. Y'all, there's a story of a man who went out to hunt one day. And he was way out in the woods somewhere. And he was away from civilization. And so he runs up on a grizzly bear. And so he runs up on the grizzly, but the bear doesn't know he's there. So he begins to back up, do his backtrack, and he steps on the twig, and it's real loud. And the grizzly bear hears the twig. He sees the man. He starts chasing after the man. And with every second, listen, the grizzly bear is getting closer to the man. He's getting closer. Finally, the man says, look, he's going to get me. He's going to get me. And so the man stops in his track. He kneels down and begins to pray. He says, God, I pray that this is a Christian grizzly bear. Y'all, the grizzly bear runs up on the man. Just before he begins to pounce on, he stops. He says, Father, I thank you for the food that I'm about to receive. That as we bow our heads on Thanksgiving Day, that we thank the God of the universe for the food that we will receive and for all the blessings that the divine benefactor gives to you and to me. So one of the core things, one of the essentials is this fact that God is our blesser. He is a divine benefactor who provides good stuff to us. Second thing is this, the praise of the beneficiary for good stuff. The praise of the beneficiary, that's us, recipients of God's good things, for the good stuff, the good things that He gives to us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Listen, David commands his soul to bless God. David understands that God didn't have to do what God did. I think about great granny again. That she didn't have to work over that hot stove, to cook all of that good food, to lay out the linen, to lay out the fine silverware, to lay out all the good dishes, to cook this feast for her family. But she did. Why did she do it? Because she loves us. Why does God bless us the way He did? Because He loves us. I believe this about praise. That true praise comes from a heart that's full of God. That truly understands just how good God has been to us. That's why I love to see folk when they come into the house on Sunday and their hearts are filled with so much praise that they start crying and they're not even sad about anything. That they think about the goodness of Jesus and all that He's done, and they can't help it. That God has been just that good. So I don't know about you, but I can tell my own testimony of how good God has been to me. And I believe if God has been good to you, it ought to show on your faith. It ought to show in the clapping of your hand. It ought to show. It ought to shine through. It was Charles Spurgeon that called this particular psalm, he called it soul music. Because it's a psalm that reaches the very soul and speaks of the goodness of God in spite of our circumstances. So David refuses to just give God the ordinary. David refuses to simply go through the motions. How many times do we come into the house of God, y'all, and we simply go through the motions? that you're in and out on the message. I'm hearing parts of it. I'm looking around. I'm thinking about what's going to happen after. We go through the motions. But how many show up each and every week with joy in your heart that you're really thinking about how good God has been to you? And sis, is it Linda or Susan? Linda. Linda blessed me the other week as she sat in the back of the room, and Linda has some crutches that she walks with. And when I spoke to her, she simply said that God is good. That she's a living, breathing testimony of God's goodness. And some, we ain't got no crutches. We can walk on our own. We ain't got no back pain, but we can't stand up and give God a praise. How dare us? We praise the beneficiary for all of the good stuff that he's given us. And so, and I realize this. I know this. And sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we get weary. Sometimes we get frustrated. And our soul doesn't want to bless God. That we don't feel motivated to praise. I understand that, and I get it. But I think we have to do like David. We have to move beyond our feelings and our emotions and say to our soul, bless the Lord. Anybody ever been in this place before? You have you ever been laying in the bed and it's nice and warm in there? It's cold in the house. And the alarm clock goes off in the house 3 times. And you still ain't got up yet. You keep it the snooze button. But finally something in you said, listen, I got to get up. And so and you say to yourself, self, some self-talk, get up. Anybody ever say it's time for me to go to the gym, but I really rather go to the refrigerator? But somehow you get engaged in some self-talk. You say, self, you got to get up. Listen, you know you need to lose some weight. You got to get out there. So you get some self-talk, and you go and do what you got to do. Anybody ever get up on a Monday morning, you don't want to go to work? As a matter of fact, you really want to call in and say, but your conscience bothers you because you're a child of God, and you don't want to lie. You never would do anything like that. We would never do anything like that, would we? And so, Bree looking up in the air like, ah. But because you know you need a paycheck too, so you get up and say, self, you better get up, put your clothes on and go to work so you can get that paycheck. Self-talk. That's what I see David doing. He's talking to himself. He's commanding himself to bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, and all that is within me. That's important too. To say all that's within me is to say, it's really say from the depths of my soul, from my very guts. It's like saying from the bottom of my heart, God, I bless you. I wonder how many came in the house today, and from the bottom of your heart, from the depths of your soul, from your very guts, you came to bless God and tell him thank you for the benefits that he gave to you and to me. That David wants to give God everything he's got. What about you? What about me? When it comes to praise, for all that God has done for you and for me, did you come here today to give God everything that you've got? Other thing, we'll keep moving on. Listen, another essential is this. Understanding the plentiful benefits that the benefactor provides. The plentiful benefits. Oh, we got it. Y'all awesome back there, aren't they? Just give them a hand, y'all. They got it working. Amen. The plentiful benefits that the benefactor provides. Big words. So benefits. Y'all know them benefits, don't you? Come on, talk to me, somebody. Forget not, or don't forget all his benefits. So we see a benefit, y'all, as an advantage or a profit gained from something. You're part of a family. There ought to be some benefits from being a part of that family. That you're part of a church ministry, there ought to be some benefits of being a part of that church ministry. That you're a part of Costco or Sam's, and so you're a part of their club, and so there ought to be some benefits that come with that. We most often associate benefits when it comes to the job. Something addition to the salary and the wages that our employer gives us, that there ought to be some benefits that come with that job. But here in the text, to talk about benefits, y'all, It's just real simple. It's all the good stuff that God has given you. Not some things, but every good thing that God has given to you and to me. Listen, period. God is good. Period. God gives good things. And here's what I love about God. And I can, maybe I just talk about me, that God gives good things to me, and I know I don't even deserve it, y'all. Has God ever hooked you up and you know you didn't deserve it? Has God ever hooked you up better than your mama could, your daddy could? Has God ever hooked you up and you knew it was nobody but God that did it? God gave you a hookup, then you ought to praise his name. Think about God's forgiveness, y'all. Think about the fact that you were sick and you couldn't get well, but God healed you. Think about the number of times that God rescued you from something. Think about the good things that God has given you. Think about the good wife that God has given you. Think about the good husband that God... I said the good wife, Sister Price said, amen. Think about the good husband that God has given you. Think about perhaps where you live right now. If some of us grew up in a shotgun house, open the front door, you could see out the back door. That some of us grew up and we know some of Vienna sausages and Spam and bologna, rag bologna and lunch meat and liver cheese and hog head sauce. And now we eating steak and we got prime rib, we eating scrimps and stuff, y'all. God has been good to us. Y'all looking to be strange, though. I remember we couldn't afford that kind of stuff. Maybe y'all could. I remember many days we just had some beans and some cornbread on the table. But look at God now. Look at what God has done for us. That God is a good God. And David says, y'all, listen, don't forget. I think that's the problem sometimes. That we forget about what God has done for us. And it's amazing that God can be so good, so benevolent, so kind, so gracious, so merciful, that there are times that we just forget about what God has done. I think about the Israelites in the Old Testament. And in several places, Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says that God gives these commands to the nation of Israel. He tells them, don't forget about me. Remember my laws and my precepts and my instructions. Write them on your doorpost, you know. Put it on your wrist. Put it on your head. Don't forget the things I've done for you. Teach your children night and day. When they get up, tell them about the things I've done for you. But it's amazing that when you look at Israel's story, time and time again, they fell into idolatry because they forgot about God. What about you? What about me? How often do you forget about the good things that God has done for you? So we dare not forget that we have to keep stirring our hearts, keep stirring our memories, keep thinking about loading our brains with the good things that God has done for us, the good stuff that he's done for us. Thinking about all that God has done. For me, it's like dumping gasoline on a fire. So some of us have been foolish enough to do that. I remember, listen, growing up, just for real though, it's like if we didn't have lighter fluid, Daddy would get a little bit of gasoline. Shoo! and it would just about explode. It's just that volatile. But here's what I believe. That when we begin to think about all that God has done for us, that it's like dumping gasoline on the fire. That listen, you may seem cold and weary, but when you just start thinking about all that God has done for you, that he woke you up, that he clothed you in your right mind, that he provided for all of your needs. When you start thinking about that stuff, listen, you can be down in the dump, but once you keep on thinking, before you know it, you up and you leaping and you got your hands up in there and you praising God. And ain't nobody else even in the room. It's just you and God, and you blessing and you crying and stuff because you know just how good God has been to you. So for me, it's like dumping gasoline on the fire. So I want to try that this morning real quick, y'all, before we close today. Let's just kind of try it. So look at what the text says. So it says, who forgives all your iniquities or your sins? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not just talking about the stuff that you did 10 years ago. I'm talking about stuff you did yesterday. I'm not talking about the stuff that you did. I'm talking about stuff you think about in your mind. Who forgives all of your iniquities and your sins, past, present, and think about it, y'all. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Who heals all your diseases? And physical disease is one thing. It's one thing. He's able to heal physical disease. But how many of y'all know we suffer from a spiritual disease too? It's called sin. That God heals us from our disease called sin. How did he do? He went to Calvary's cross for you and for me. He died. But 3 days later, he got back up with all power in his hand. That he heals all of our diseases, y'all. Let it marinate. Let it marinate. Some of y'all ain't thinking about it yet. You're still thinking about ham hocks that you're going to get out to service today. Think of it. Let it marinate. Who redeemeth you from the pit? That's an important image, y'all. Because the pit back then was a deep hole that they dug, and a deep hole for a lion and for an enemy that you could not get out of the hole. How many holes have you been in? Good God Almighty, you couldn't get yourself out of the hole. Nobody but the Lord. Nobody but the Lord got you up out of that hole, and you started you on your way. And let it marinate. Let it sink in. Reflect on it, y'all. Reflect on it. Who crowns you with steadfast love? Who puts a crown on your hand of on your head of unrelenting love, unchangeable love, committed love, the hesed, the covenant love of God that God puts on you and me that no one can take away? You can't take away God's love. It's a sticky kind of love. It stays with you. And so by now, y'all looking at me real straight. Your praise ought to be hot right now. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, listen, we ought to be on fire this morning. And all that God has done for us. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Hallelujah. Oh, he's worthy. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Bless his name. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for peace. Thank you for joy. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 And the purpose for all of this good stuff, it says in the text, who satisfied thy mouth with some good stuff, with the good things. I think about great-granny again and how she prepared that table with some good stuff, y'all, with the turkey and the dressing and the ham and the, we had goose or we had duck, one or the other, y'all, and we had all of these delicates, all of these great things that she prepared good stuff for us. How much more does God prepare good stuff for you and for me? He does it, why? So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Put it plainly, that God will give you sweet kisses of blessings, that God will fill me and you with good things so that we can keep going for him, that he renews our strength, that he gives us joy. In the midnight hour when things aren't going well, that we can think about, we can put those deposits in our heads of all that God has done for us. And though it may be dark, and those circumstances may be bad, we still have running in our feet and joy in our hearts. That our lives renewed like an eagle. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That you'll mount up with wings like an eagle. You'll run and not be, walk and not faint. That God will give you those sweet kisses, those blessings, those morsels of his miracles to keep you going, to keep you steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I'm almost done, y'all. I'm almost done. I don't have the clock up there. I don't have the clock up there, but this last thing. I'm just talking about essentials. These core things that are necessary, important as a part of our thanksgiving, our worship, and our praise to God. That we realize that he is the powerful benefactor, that he blesses us with all that we have. Because of that, we praise him. This last part now be done, the process of reciprocity that takes place between the benefactor and the beneficiary. We talk about reciprocity. We're talking about the practice of exchanging things of mutual kind. Reciprocity is like, I give you something, you give me something in return. We understand reciprocity when it comes to shopping, don't we, people in the house today? that when you go to the grocery store and you fill your basket with good things and you get ready to check out, that, listen, you're going to give them some money and you're going to walk out the store with a basket full of groceries. That when you go to Neiman Marcus, okay, when you go to Jacques Pinay, when you go to Wally, wherever you go, that when you go to that register, listen, you're going to put the stuff up there, you're going to give them money, they're going to reciprocate, they're going to give you something in exchange, the stuff that you came in there to get. We have this beautiful exchange with God. It's a beautiful relationship of reciprocity, that God gives us something and we give God something in return. But it's different than the world. It's different from the world in this. That thanksgiving and praise and worship of God is like a young child that asks their father to give them $10 to buy a gift for the father, then gives the gift to the father who gave them the money to buy the gift. Have y'all caught that yet? So in worship, y'all, in thanksgiving to God, in praise to God, that God gives us something, we'll give God something in exchange. But I found out something. What shall we render unto the Lord for all of his goodness? The cattle on a thousand hills belong. It all belongs to him. So what can I give God for all? How can I reciprocate? Listen, I will pay my vows in the house of God, that openly before God's people, I will lift up my hand. I will shout with the voice of triumph. What can we give God today? Y'all ain't gave him nothing yet. Come on. Come on. We can reciprocate. Do I have some folk in the house that you want to reciprocate? God, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, God. Come on, y'all. Let's reciprocate for a minute. Listen, if God has poured out a platter full of his benefits and his blessings, listen, we ought to lift up our platter before God, y'all. A platter of praise, a platter of joy, a platter of thanksgiving. God, thank you, you've been good to me. God, thank you for your blessings. God, thank you for your grace. God, thank you for your forgiveness. God, thank you for your joy, unspeakable. God, I thank you, God. I lift up my platter before you on this day of thanksgiving to tell you thank you, oh God. It all belongs to you, oh God. And I give you and you alone all of my praise today, because you alone deserve it. Because I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the good stuff. Hallelujah and amen. Hallelujah and amen. Hallelujah and amen. Hallelujah and amen. God, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the good stuff. Father, thank you. This day as we prepare to celebrate a Thanksgiving day. But we dare not wait until then. We thank you now. God, thank you for your many benefits. Thank you for all the good stuff. Most of all, we thank you for Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him despised the shame and endured the cross. And he went to Calvary for our sins. That he died on Calvary's cross, they buried him in a tomb. He stayed there for 3 days. But after 3 days, he got back up again with all power. The power to save us, to deliver us, to rescue us. And for that, we are grateful. God, if you never do another thing for us, we are grateful for salvation. But God, in your loving kindness, you continue to pour out your blessings on us. And every time you pour out the blessings, we pour out our praise to you. God, I pray right now for all that are listening in right now to our online ministry, all those who are in the house. God, if they're not in saving relationship with Jesus, that they would experience that today. Your word said that you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son, who gave his life as a ransom for many. And if we would but believe on the name of Jesus, believe what he did for us, believe what took place at Calvary, if we would confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, believe in our hearts that you raised him from the dead, your word says that saves us, that it's settled in heaven, it's settled on earth. And though our lives may not immediately look like what it ought to look like, it is what it is. because we confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you're sanctifying us and making us holy and making us more like you. So Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Speak to the heart of that person today that may not be in a saving relationship with Jesus. Draw them by your power as only you can. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, can we give God some praise in the house today? And perhaps there's someone here today, perhaps you are in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, but you're not connected to a local church somewhere. We invite you to be a part of Living Faith Community Church, a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. Or maybe you're believing for the first time and you're feeling this tugging at your heart. There's God that's tugging at your heart, His Spirit. Something in His message that touched your heart and you want to be saved. You want a relationship with Jesus Christ. Whether coming for the first time or already a believer, you can do that today. If you're in the house today, we have ushers that are standing in the back of the room. Their hands are extended. That they will lead you to our new members' room, where one of our new member advisors will meet with you. They'll gather information from you, and we'll welcome you with open arms. So would there be one in the house today? Perhaps you're already saved, have a relationship with Jesus, but you're not connected to some fellowship somewhere where you can worship with other believers, praise with other believers, be held accountable, walk in a love relationship with Jesus, with other believers. Well, we invite you today to do that as well. Ushers are standing. Hands are extended. Won't you receive Him today? Won't you come today? We don't rush this moment. For those that are tuned in to our online ministry, we invite you today as well. So how do you do that? There is a new member ministry form that you can fill out. That it's online right now. Fill that form out. And I promise you on this coming week, one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you and we'll welcome you. We'll welcome you with open arms.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m., and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.